I haven't been up here in a long time. I'm still alive. You know, they call it, you know, COVID-19, but I'll be honest with you, COVID-20 is happening right here. Y'all, I haven't been moving around a whole lot. So the cameramen, when I preach, they say, "You're going to stay in one spot, aren't you?" And I said, "Man, you got wheels on those cameras now, man. You're gonna have to follow me around." But I want to welcome everyone who's watching online. We're just excited that you're here to worship the Lord with us, and I believe that God has given me a word for you today. And I can tell you that because that word has been working on me. And before I get started, I just want to say that this beautiful lady on the front row, and in 16 days, would you stand up? 16 days, we will be married 25 years. That is a quarter of a century. That's a quarter of a century. I'm not saying we're old. We were betrothed at 10 years old. It was weird. But no, I'm just so blessed to have a wonderful wife. And last week, Pastor Emilio brought a fantastic word, amazing word, such a powerful message from God. I don't know where he is, but Pastor Emilio, that spoke to my heart, and I appreciate that you setting that bar so high, and now I have to come and to follow that. But I truly am honored to speak to you today, and I would like for God to have his way today. I want to pray because I want to get out of the way. So would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. God, we need you. Lord, with everything that's happening right now in the news, in life, all of the things that we are dealing with, God, we need something authentic. God, we need you. We don't need anything else today. We have plans for this afternoon, but right now we're going to stop right now and focus on you and your word, on your kingdom, on your spirit. God, I pray that you would have your way today. God, use this clumsy flesh. You speak through me, God. I pray that you bring a word, a message today for us, because we are desperate, we are hurting, and we need you. We need you. We give you all the glory and honor. And Lord, everything belongs to you. It all belongs to you. It all came from you. It'll all go back to you. And right now, God, we give everything back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So I had to have a title. And the poor tech people, I gave them just a bunch of scriptures. I didn't give them any sermon notes, but that's all right. But the title of this message today is, Who Are Your People? Who are your people? And before you start thinking about who your people are, I'm not talking about, okay, I'm Democrat or I'm Republican or these are my people. I want to talk to you about real people. Who are the people in your life that are for you? Who are your people? I want to tell you that deep down, God has built us to worship. There is an innate need deep within in our souls where we're going to worship something. If you're not Christian, you're probably worshiping something else. But deep down, God has given us this innate need to worship things. Some of us have worshiped our career in the past. Some of us have worshiped money. Some of us have worshiped relationships. Some of us have worshiped people. And when you finally come to God and realize that God, that hole in your life is a God-shaped hole, God fills that need, that God-shaped hole in your life, and you begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's that innate need to worship. We are built for relationship. And not only are we built to have a vertical need to have a relationship with God, but God has also put in us an incredibly deep need to have deep, meaningful relationships with other people. He's built us that way. God has built us for fellowship. That's a Christian-y term. But God has built us for fellowship. There's a Greek word called koinonia, and it means fellowship, sharing in common, communion. And the first time we see this word being used was in the book of Acts in chapter 2 when it was talking about the birth of the church. And God gives us a real picture of what Christian fellowship really looks like. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Look at your neighbor and say, we need some koinonia. Y'all didn't even know how to say that word. Koinonia. Even introverted people need relationship. Are there any introverts in the house? The real introverts didn't raise their hands. You're not an introvert. You're like, you're not an introvert. I'm an introvert. And y'all, I want to tell you this, you know, at first this stay-in-place, stay-at-home thing, that was great for me because it was like, I like just being alone anyways. But like weeks in, I was like, I need some people in my life. I need some friends. But we have this built-in relationship that we need with God, but we also have it where we need people. And the truth is, we don't always do both very well. Sometimes we have a really strong relationship with God, but His people are not around us. We're not surrounding ourselves with God's people. And I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like having, and when you have one part and you don't have the other, it's kind of like having a car with no wheels. It doesn't go anywhere. You can rev it up, you can do all kinds of stuff, you can turn the turn signals on, but it doesn't move. It doesn't do anything. And so we just can't have an amazing relationship with God and not with His people. I know some of you come into the church and you got your mask on and you're coming in. We can't tell if you're smiling. We can't tell if you're happy. And some of you are okay with that because you just want to hide. You want to come into the church. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to sit down and you want to just listen and worship and hear this amazing praise team. And you want to see the scriptures. You want to sing. But then you want to wrap everything up and sneak out of the church building and leave. And you know, some of you are like, well, Will, I love God, but people. It's just that, it's that people part. You know, I love God. God is amazing, but people stink. God is amazing. God is faithful, but people are not faithful. God is true, and everything that God says is true. God speaks a word. He says, let there be light, and there's light. When people speak, they lie. God is good, but people sometimes are not. The scripture says that God will never leave you or forsake you. How many of you have been forsaken by people? How many of us have been let down by people? You ever put your faith in a person and just have that crushed? And so a lot of us have been hurt by people. A lot of us come in and we love the God part of this, but it's the people part. That's the hard part. That is the hard part. God is good, but most people are not. That's the truth. I'll tell you, some of the meanest people I have ever met in my life are Christians. I'm not going to continue harping on that, but that's the truth. The people that, and Pastor Miller, you preached an amazing message. Those are the people that should love you the most. Those are the people that shouldn't judge you. Those are the people that should lift you up and speak life into you. But sometimes, those are the people that can hurt you the most. Have you ever been church hurt? That's a term. Church hurt. But in spite of all this, I'm here to tell you today that you need God's people. I need God's people. I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to tell you today that you cannot have a strong, vibrant relationship with God and not his people. You can't have both. Mark 10 and 30 says this, 12 and 30, excuse me. And you shall love your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So if we were to wrap up the entire Bible in five words, it's love God and love his people. Y'all, if we could do this well, that's the entire Bible. Love God and love people. If we loved God and loved people well, there wouldn't be riots. If we love God and love people, there wouldn't be people shooting each other. If we loved God and loved people, there wouldn't be people that were church hurt. If we loved God and loved people, our marriages would be stronger. If we loved God and loved people, there wouldn't be child abuse. I want to explain something to you that my relationship with God affects every other relationship I have. My relationship with God affects the way that I love my wife. My relationship with God affects the way that I love my kids. My relationship with God affects the way that I treat others, even others that don't have my same, you know, political leaning. You know, if we loved God and loved people, we could have conversations today and not hate each other. You see, if we loved God and loved people, you could say something and believe something and yet not be afraid to get beat up by just the thing that you're saying. I want to tell you the reason why my relationship with God affects every other relationship that I have. And I'm going to tell you, if I'm not praying, if I'm on autopilot and I'm trying to figure this whole thing out myself and I'm not going to God with my stress and my anxiety and my fears and going to God with my sin, and I don't let the mercy and the love and the grace of God work its way into my heart, I know who I am without Jesus. I know who I am without Jesus, and it's somebody you don't want to know. And I think deep down we all know who we are. We all know that, you know, we're just a few decisions away from total disaster and destruction. We can close in on ourselves. We can become so self-centered and so selfish and so hurtful. Have you ever just seen the nasty side of who you are without God? Some of y'all don't even know that there's a better side because you're still in the nastiness. But I want to tell you, I've seen both. I know who I am without Jesus. I know without Jesus, I will steal from you. I know without Jesus in my life, I am a wreck. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm all of those things because I've been those things. But I know with Jesus that I can be free from all of those things. I know with Jesus that I can be the best father that I've ever seen, because I've seen horrendous examples of what a father is. I know that with Jesus in my life, I can love my wife and know that we are coming up on 25 years of marriage. And let me just tell you how much of a miracle that is. Between her family and my family, there's been 11 divorces with parents. 11 divorces. Statistically, it was impossible. And we got married when we were 19 years old. But Jesus. And so When I know, when I let Jesus into my life, and when I let Jesus work his way into my life, I become less selfish. I become so much more outward focused. I begin to love others well. God uses me to bless other people. And I want to tell you that people help you grow closer to God. Let me explain. There are 59 one another passages in the New Testament, and you've heard them. Love one another, bear one another's burden, honor one another above yourselves, live in harmony with one another, instruct one another, serve one another, forgive one another. And all of these scriptures tell us to do something towards and with other people. You can't do all of those one another's right here on a Sunday morning. It feels good. We come in, we hear amazing messages, and we get to clap our hands, but we don't get to do the one another's. I don't get to bear your burden. You don't get to bear my burden on a Sunday morning. And I think we believe these scriptures, we acknowledge these scriptures, but we don't always have the opportunity, the time, and the place to practice them. You see, in the Bible, most of the ministry happened in people's houses. They came to the temple. They worshiped in the temple, but they broke bread in their homes. They went to the temple, but they went to others' houses where they bear one another's burdens. They had prayer meetings. They had all things in common. So we don't always have time for real koinonia fellowship, real community, to get down and really discuss what God is doing in our lives. We don't really get a time to speak into each other's lives and really figure out how the other person is doing on a Sunday morning. Let me read that scripture again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is God's word. We need God's word in our life. And to fellowship. That's putting God's word into practice. And it said, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, and the Lord added to their number daily. Look how God was growing the church. That's how God was growing his church. We need more than a Sunday experience, and I love Sunday, but we need Christian community. So I have a question for you today. Who are your people? Do you have people? And now let me ask you this. You may say, I have people. I've got a group of friends at work. I've got this group of friends. I'm going to ask you a really, really important question now. Do your people take you to God, or do they take you away from God? There is an old saying that says, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Proverbs 13 and 20 says it like this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do your people make you better? Do the people you hang around with, do they bring out the best in you? Or do they bring out the worst in you? Do you feel uplifted after you hang out with your people, or do you feel angry? Do you feel like I'm being real here today. Do you have good friends? Do you have good people in your life? Not everybody in here can say that. I want you to have good people. And I want to talk about four men in the Bible, and I'm wrapping up. But four men, I want to talk about these four men. These were people. These were really good people. Mark 2 and 1 says this, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Now listen to this. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praising God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." What a story. What a story. There's so much in that story. There's so much that we could unpack in that story. But I want to talk to you about the paralyzed man for just one second, because the truth is, all of us relate to this man on the mat. Because the truth is we all have a mat. You have a mat. That's that area of your life where you might be ashamed. That area of your life that you don't really care to talk about it. You don't want anybody to see it. But we all have a mat. It's that part of our life where we feel helpless and powerless. It's that part of our life that really just seems like paralysis. It's something that happened to you while you were growing up. Maybe a wrecked marriage, a wrecked ministry, or wrecked relationships. And the fear, the insecurity that goes along with that. You see, we really do a good job of trying to hide that part of our lives. We do our best to hide that. We don't want people to see that. But your mat might be keeping you from having real relationships. Your mat might actually keep you from letting you live the life that you want to live. Your mat might keep you from asking for forgiveness. Your mat may be keeping you from asking for help. But we all have a mat. Some of you you came into church today and you didn't even know how you would make it into the church, but you came. We all have a mat. And because we all have a mat, we need people. We need people to carry us closer to Jesus. You see, these four people picked up this paralyzed man and they brought him close to Jesus. I want to tell you, these four people had their own mats. They had their own issues. They had their own troubles. They had their own problems. But they chose to pick up a corner of this man's mat and carry him to Jesus. Not only did they carry him to Jesus, it wasn't just easy to just come and walk right up and lay this man next to Jesus. They came up and the whole house was so full that they couldn't even get in the front door. These four men loved this man so much, they said, "We're going to get you to Jesus." They couldn't go in the front door, so they went up on the roof and they started ripping the roof apart. "I just replaced my roof. It's very expensive." But these guys loved this man so much that they tore open a roof just to get this man and lower him down in front of Jesus, interrupting everything. And when Jesus saw their faith, that group's faith, he saw their faith. That's so beautiful. Who are your people? Do you have people that would do that for you? Who is carrying your mat? Let me go a little further. Whose mat are you carrying? Do you have people today? Last week, I was thinking about this message, and I saw a lady from our church post something on Facebook. And this was the message that had already been stirring up in my heart, and I read these words. It was she posted something that was incredibly vulnerable. The title of her post was, my brokenness. And she said this, it took a failing marriage, her mat, a strong church, and three strangers forming a small group to guide me close enough to God to let him save me. I'll never forget. You see, real growth doesn't just come that when we meet together, but when we relate to God through each other. When you see God, his grace working in somebody else's life, and you know, oh, if God can do that for you, he can do that for me. When you see people that don't judge you, but they, instead of judging you, they come alongside you and take some of that burden. When you let somebody in and you actually let them see your brokenness, you've been hurt by people in the past, but when you get vulnerable enough to show your brokenness to somebody and they come alongside you and they bear that burden with you, it's beautiful because it's not just you. I love how Jesus said he saw their faith. Sometimes it takes more than your faith. Sometimes it takes more than your prayers, and I'm not saying they're not powerful, but sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside you. Sometimes this man took four people, but there's somebody here today that has fought the battle you've been fighting for a long time. There's somebody here in this church that has victory over that struggle. That thing, that mat, that thing that you never think you're going to ever be able to overcome. Somebody in this church, in this building right now has faced it, fought it, and Jesus has brought them through, and they can help you with your mat. There's somebody in this church right now that knows the struggle that you're facing. He knows the loneliness. They know what you are going through, but you have to be vulnerable. You have to let them in. Today we want to help you find some godly relationships. We want to help you find your people. We want you to have koinonia. And that promised land, our mission here, our entire vision and mission is, our mission is to bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. There's two parts. Jesus and people. Love God, love people. And so in closing, we're going to pray for faith. We're going to pray for faith, your faith, to take a step and open yourselves up to what God really has for you. To let some people into your life. We're going to pray for faith to let them see the real you, that you that needs help. For faith to show them your mat. And for faith for you to grab a hold of somebody else's mat and carry them. Let's pray right now. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, without it, we wouldn't be here today. God, we need you. God, we need you, Lord. We're desperate. God, we need people in our lives. We need your people, God. God, to see our brokenness. God, to carry our mat. It's heavy. And Lord, we can't do it on our own, and we're not supposed to. God, I pray right now for people to surround some paralysis, to surround sickness. Lord, draw your people together, God, for koinonia, for fellowship. God, give us faith in the bravery to be vulnerable, the bravery to be available, the bravery, God, to be your hands and your feet. Lord, we can't do this by ourselves. We're not supposed to. We're built for relationship with each other. Lead us and guide us in your Holy Ghost. God, we give you all of the glory, all of the honor. Lord, we look to you and need you. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your love. Thank you, God. Lord, let it change us. Let it change our lives. Let it change every relationship that we have. Lord, let us be a light in this dark world. God, we honor you. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.